N4IQ. My goodness, it's been so long. I'm trying to remember your name. Name's Bill.
IQ. All right, sorry, Bill. KD2BNG. Name is Glenn. Yeah, you're right. It's been probably quite a while.
It could be, I don't know, 9 months maybe, or longer than that. Well, it's good to hear you. What you been up to?
On the net much anymore, for some reason. And since I'm on only sporadically during the day, you know, you may catch me out or not. No, you know, pretty much same old thing. Same thing, different day. Or maybe different year. What's today, the 29th? Okay, coming up on different year.
Could be a year since I talked to you. Well, I'm not on very much. I don't check into the net. Not that I have anything against it, but I just, that's a busy time of the evening for me. And usually doing other things. And now that I don't go into work every day, you know, I'm not in the car very much, so I just don't get on to very much. But anyway, today is my annual day for getting my ears lured, so he's going to have a job. 10:30 is when my appointment. I should make it there without any problem. Anyway, that's what I'm doing this morning, over.
Well, let's see, I could use a trim. It'll hold. Yeah, no, I don't, the net at 9 p.m. now seems to be a conflict with me. The only radio I really have left is the one in the car, although I really should get the power supply working for more radios. Last time I was on the 9 o'clock net was just a week or so ago to make an announcement about KI4MLN, who I'm sure you talked to. That was Al Lincoln, and he died, I guess, sometime within the past month, unfortunately.
I haven't talked to probably in over a year, or it could be even longer. You know, I just lose track of people since I'm not on too a lot. Well, that's too bad. I did not know that about him, ever. I know he had a lot of health issues.
Exactly, a lot of health issues. I drove him to the hospital probably on 3 or 4 occasions. And, he had heart problems. He had breathing problems. And last time he was in hospital, I think, was maybe, it wasn't November, it might have been October. I went to see him in hospital, and he'd been there for 2 weeks. And, yeah, I just found out last week, about a week ago, I found out from the owner of the bar he used to frequent that, apparently he passed away. So, you know, it happens.
That's very unfortunate. I know he used to work on cars a lot, like motors. He rebuild motors and things like that. I know he is visually impaired. I was always amazed at me what he could do.
Rebuild an engine. I probably helped him do it, but it was, you know, he hardly needed my help. Yeah, I'm amazed he was able to do it. Visually impaired, meaning totally blind, which he always was from birth. So I was always a little envious of that. But yeah, he was good at that. He was a good diagnostician too for electronics. You know, if you had a problem with your radio, things of that nature, he was pretty good at that.
Well, that's too bad. Man, I think about a lot of people I don't hear anymore. You know, I just don't hear them, and I'm always wondering if it's the worst, or they just lost interest, or the mood, or, you know, what. But most of the time, I never know.
You never know. You don't hear someone in a couple of months, and, you know, especially people who, you know, like Al, like me, who are getting up there in years, if you don't hear us for a while, could be we're not around. You never know.
Well, every morning I get out of bed, put my feet on the floor, that's a good day. That's the way I look at it. Thank the Lord for giving me the opportunity to have another day. Yep. Well, October I turned 76. Still going. I'm just very fortunate. Just feel good, and every day I have plenty to do. There's a reason for getting up, so I feel very fortunate.
Considerably older than I am, then, and if you still have something that gets you out of bed every day and gets you excited to say, yeah, I wanna do something today, especially something that keeps your mind active, keeps your body active, that's a very, very fortunate.
Well, I'm still married, my wife's still here, and relatively speaking, she's in good health, and I've got two dogs and nine cats. Got a hobby, that really keeps me busy a lot. I like contesting and DXing, and I'm always working on something related to radio. And my house has three sets of stairs. And I'll tell you one thing. I know they're good exercise. I must go up and down those stairs 30 times a day or more. I just, I think to myself, well, that's really good exercise, and I walk one of my dogs 2 to 3 miles every day. I just feel very fortunate that I can do all that.
You're in better shape and got more energy than I do. See, part of what encourages my sedentary lifestyle lately, though, is I probably should have stayed where I was in Long Island for the simple reason that it was one of those neighborhoods where you could walk everywhere. So you would walk to the general store or whatever around there. I would just sometimes, just for the hell of it, go walk around for an hour or two, come back. You lose a lot of muscle mass or a lot of muscle tone if you don't even really have that to do.
Okay, Glenn, I really do enjoy the walking. That is really good exercise. Plus, I've got a yard that's pretty big, and I do it all myself. I maintain it. My wife just put out pansies everywhere, and we still enjoy working out in our yard. That's fun. And all the leaf essentially 2/3 of the property is in a forest, hardwoods mostly sometimes. But that keeps you busy, and I enjoy it. I don't begrudge it. Anyway, well, this guy's gonna get, man, I tell you what, I'm amazed about the drivers down here. This guy pulls out right in the middle. I saw him pulling out. He shouldn't have pulled out. And then because of traffic on the other side of the street going the other way where he's trying to go, he stops in the middle of the road.
Upside down, in the wrong lane, pointed in the wrong direction, and of course it's always on the bald tires. I see some horrifically stupid crashes around here. It's like these people are geniuses at automobile accidents. Wow, how did he do that? He spun around the other way on the other side of the divider, flipped right over it.
I wonder how that happened, as he put his cell phone down as he was texting. Actually, as the cell phone flies out of his hand. I think a lot of it has to do with cell phones. Of course, they're just plain people that don't pay attention, and there's the other portion that are under the influence or something. I don't know. I just have to be careful. One thing I've really learned to do is, as soon as the light turns green, you do not go.
See, up north, that'll get you run over, eh? So what, wait for the green light, wait for the guy in front of you to get off his mobile phone?
You know, I used to be, of course, I've lived here a long time. Used to be, you never saw anybody run a red light. I mean, you just didn't see it. Boy, I see it all the time now. That's why I say I do not go. I count to three or four, and then I go. Because there's just too many times people just run the red light. And that's when I think a lot of times their cell phones, a lot of them just don't want to wait. But anyway, I guess you're enjoying this nice weather that we're having instead of being in New York, over.
In some ways, I miss the cold. It doesn't get that cold down here, although it doesn't really snow to any degree either. Shoveling snow, I don't really miss. But the cold was, cold is good for you. In fact, I told you about walking around, just going out of the house and walking 2 or 3 miles. I used to do that when it was 28 degrees, dressed in basically nothing but, you know, a thin cotton shirt and some thin pants. And because there's benefits to exercising in the cold, it gets your blood flowing more than it would during the summer.
My blood's not going. Oh, my. I don't know. I have lived in cold places. I lived in Kansas for a while, in Missouri, and lived in Maryland a little bit. Never north, though, like Michigan or New England states or any place like that. But that was enough, I tell you.
Necessarily be upstate New York, you know, in the interior. The New York City area has... The climate's moderated a little by the fact that you're on the ocean. Go up to, let's say, I don't know, Buffalo or Niagara or one of those places, and you get bitter cold, and you have to dig your way out of your house. Oh, look, there's 10 feet of snow in front of the door. I got to tunnel up to get out of the house.
I did not enjoy that at all. Yeah, what do they call it, the lake effect? That area right in there just gets lots and lots of snow. My brother Phil, I know you've talked to him before. He's moved out of the area, so you probably don't hear him anymore. But he was in the Navy stationed at Norfolk. And he had a girlfriend in Buffalo, and there's more than once he got snowed in. Of course, it didn't bother him, but he'd go there on the weekend, and he wouldn't be able to get back. Of course, he'd have to let his Navy boss know what was going on. But I tell you what, he got to the point where he did not like going up there. That relationship did not last very long.
You get nasty-ass lake effect snow. You got, when I was in Cleveland, fortunately I wasn't there long. I was up there doing on a project, and you get like below zero temperatures, and it's still maybe October, because you've got all the wind coming off of Lake, not Lake Michigan, what lake is that? One of the Great Lakes. So, yeah, Cleveland was not a fun place. Chicago and all those other places, Detroit, right near the Great Lakes, I don't imagine would be. You know, they get some bitter cold blasts of cold air coming through there.
Oh, yeah, no fun. I can't ever remember those lakes. I was in Chicago this summer. Went up one of those really tall buildings, you know, where you can look all around. And, my goodness. Those are big lakes. What is Superior, Ontario, Michigan, and there's one other. There's about four of them. But I always get them mixed up. I can't ever remember. So, well, I'm not very far. I will make a right turn and I'll be where I gotta go. So, hope you have a good day and hope it's not so long before we talk again. And, oh, there's a guy over here. Hold on. Got an 18-wheeler. Oh, my gosh. That guy's much bigger than I am. N4IQ.
2KD2BNG. Lake Erie is the one you're missing. That would be Cleveland and also, like, you know, Pennsylvania, the panhandle of New York. Chicago would be on Lake Michigan with the other... There's a Lake Huron, there's a Lake Ontario, there's a Lake Superior... I think there's five of them. Anyway, I'll let you go because I'm in my destination as well. So, 73 is a nice hearing from you. It's KD2BNG.
Yeah, that's right. I've always wanted to go to the Erie Canal, and I've always wanted to go see Niagara Falls. I don't know if I ever will, but there's a couple things I would like to do someday. All right, 73, N4IQ.
Mobile. NNH K4OIM. How you doing this morning, Fred?
KO4NNH. I'm doing well, Walt. How about yourself, man? You feeling any better?
Rough night last night. I got up this morning, came down here to the shack, put on a pot of coffee, and sat here waiting on pain pills to kick in. Maybe they'll start working here in a few minutes, but, got an antenna out there. I'm wanting to get up a 6-meter dipole, but I ain't gonna fool with it out there in the rain today.
Well, I have plans to do a couple things in my shack today, but well, that ain't happening now that it's raining. I need to get a couple more cables ran inside and all that type of shenanigans.
Kicking around back there last night. I forgot what I was looking for, but every time I go to look for something, I'll find something else that I was looking for a couple of weeks ago. And I found, about 20 feet of wire to connect from my radio to the battery in my truck. And I need to extend the power cable on my Kenwood 2-meter all mode and put some Anderson power poles on it. So once I get the moving around, I can do that today here in my shack. Yeah, I restored these old bow anchors, and I got four of them tore down here. I've been waiting on recap kits for. I usually get them from Hayseed, and it takes from 7 to 10 days for them to get here. I've been waiting 5 months, and I finally got them 2 days before Christmas, and I'll be darned if they didn't send me the wrong ones. And I called them, and they told me they were sorry, but they couldn't bid anymore right now because of the supply problem, but they put the money back into my account that day and told me to just keep the capacitors, but I don't know what they're for. I know they're not for the radios I've got, so I've got plenty of capacitors, but like I say, I don't know what they're for. If there'd been some .047s, I could have sure used them somewhere, but all of them is different values than what I'm meeting here. So I guess I'm going to just put the radios back in the cabinet and wait till this supply issue kind of eases up.
About that last night over the net, I was actually listening to my Fusion Echo. I got a question for you regarding that, but I'll ask that later. But, yeah, I heard heard you talking about that last night, and I wanted to chip in, but I was about ready to pass out by the time roundtable started, so. Nah, man, unfortunately, it ain't getting any better from the looks of it, at least not right now. It's, I'm working an automotive plant, and every time we're having ramp-ups and ramp-downs with parts, and it's all with the main manufacturers that they can't get the chips in. They have a bunch of bodies built, but now they've pretty much exceeded how many bodies they can make, and now they're ramping down orders for all the chips that they don't have.
All of that. Man, the United States has got, we dug ourselves in a hole by moving all of our manufacturing out of the States and buying everything from China. If we ever get into a conflict with China, which I believe is going to happen, we might as well throw our hands up and just give up, because we ain't making nothing here. Everything coming from China, Fred.
Yeah, Walt, I don't know, man. I think they need to get everything back over here in the States at least. In my opinion, American made is best made, but besides German made, but that only applies to tools in my opinion, but I don't know, man. I'm kind of with you there.
I never, been in a union, but it seems like to me that the American people had just overpriced their labor. And doggone Biden's wanting to just about double the minimum wage now. And these companies, everywhere you look, are begging for help. And if they had just, I think he's wanting to raise the minimum wage up to about $15 an hour. Boy, they gonna be a lot of more companies moving to China and to Mexico and Vietnam and Indonesia. But I don't know what this world's coming to.
Get there, man. I don't know what this world's coming to. I've been hearing about the minimum wage thing, and I'm not gonna disclose how much I make over the radio. At least I may disclose that if we do an in-person QSO soon, but. I'll be honest with you. I'm more in the skilled trade type of scenario. So, and I keep hearing about all this. It really gets my gears going inside my head. You know, I've been in my trade for 5 years. I have experienced in two other trades because they kind of tie into my trade, and it really gets me going. You know, and I understand people are having issues trying to find people. At the same time, it makes me wonder, like, what are the people, what's causing the people not to go take these jobs? They're very good opportunities, in my opinion. I don't know, man.
I ran heavy equipment from the time I was 18. I joined the Navy quick as I turned 18 and went into Seabees and went to heavy equipment school out in Port Hueneme, California. And I ran heavy equipment up to I retired. And last job I did, the last 10 or 12 years, all I did was airports. Either new airports or extending runways, new runways, taxiways, or whatever. And we finished that job up, We went to Greenville to sign up for unemployment, and he beat me out. And when I got out there to the truck, he was sitting there drinking a beer. He said, "Man, you know what they told me I could draw?" I said, "No, Buzz, how much you gonna draw?" He said, "Man, I'm gonna draw $271 a week for 2 years. Now, he's my foreman, and he said, "How much you gonna draw?" I said, "Well, I'm gonna draw $371 for 2 years." "Man, what in the world? How much were they paying you an hour?" I said, "Now, Buzz, you know we ain't supposed to talk to each other about how much we make an hour." But I went ahead and signed up for my unemployment, dropped that for 2 years, and I said, well, heck, I'm 62 years old, so I went ahead and signed up for my Social Security and got it going. I was living good after the first 2 years, but right now, counting this raise we get starting January the 1st, I'm drawing about as much Social Security a month as I was making while I was working. But, man, the way groceries and everything has went up, every time we get a raise, everything's done went up to eat your raise up. But what can we do? Can't complain. Ain't going to do no good, Fred.
Yeah, there, Walt. It's crazy, man. It's crazy what this world's coming to, man. I hate saying this, but first started with COVID, then it was downward spiral in 2020, and here we are in 2021 at the very tail end of it. And, I'll be honest, man, I'm not looking forward to 2022. I've got a bad feeling about that year. I just, something in my gut's telling me, be better prepared for the worst. That's my gut's telling me, but Walt, I ain't changed the subject, but I gotta go and ask this question. I'm actually at my destination now. Was I causing problems on the repeater? I accidentally fell asleep and my Echolink node was still hooked up to the repeater last night.
I think that thing automatically kicks out after so long. I have done that myself. Well, I didn't fall asleep. I know I called you for comments, and I went back to Echolink, and you were still on it, but you never would key up, and I called the net and went ahead with the round table and signed off, and I get up there, get in bed, and I say, oh, man, I'm still down there signed into Echolink, and I came back down here, and it had done shut down. But I don't think it causes any problems unless you fall asleep and key the mic up.
No, I didn't key up the mic. I had my radio in lock mode. I can't believe I fell asleep during the round table. That's like the one thing I was looking forward to last night. goes to show you just how tired I was, considering I was up since 3 a.m. yesterday, but... Now, I was just asking, I run Echolink in SysOp mode hooked up to my FT991A, and that is the only way I can get the repeater inside my house, whereas me running the cable that I need to run inside, I ain't done that yet, but that'll be happening. I had plans to do that today, but that obviously ain't happening now with the rain, but... Well, let me go and say 7-3. I'm at my destination. I need to go and walk in here, get a couple things, walk out. It's been nice talking to you. 7-3, KO4NH. I'll be clear after your final.
NH, K4OIM. Yeah, good talking to you, Fred. Besides on the checking in on the net, you ever hear me in here on the radio, give me a holler. I come down here every morning about 7 o'clock. Put on a pot of coffee and turn the 2 meter on and my FT950, and I'm down here at about 11, 12 o'clock, sometime 1 or 2 o'clock. So, you ever hear me? Give me a holler. And I'll say 7-3s and Happy New Year, Fred.
Or ULP, my drink.
BNG, how you doing?
How about yourself?
I just sitting here waiting for ordered a pizza, just waiting for it to get cooked so I'll have something for lunch.
And so do you have any plans for today?
Rainy, nasty, and not in too much of a mood to really do anything. I mean, I'm sure there's always something to do.
What is your name again?
What?
So, yeah, have an HT that I need to get programmed, so, you know, having KTYCL come over if he has time today and help me out with that.
Yeah, that's probably beyond me at this point, and, you know, it's funny because that's the sort of work I used to do, is design and program computers. But, you know, this aspect of merging computers and ham radio, I really, really should get more into.
Figure out how to work the new handheld. It won't, for some reason, the offset is not working, so on the repeater, I can't, the radio's not switching between the receive and transmit frequency, so there's probably something in a menu blocking that. It's a brand new radio, so I don't know.
Handheld, what brand is this that Chirp doesn't program? Download a copy of Chirp.
Yeah, 10-way radio. I think it's the same as the Boa thing. It is 10 watts, and, you know, seems to be doing pretty good, you know. I don't know yet.
Radios, a lot of them are a devil to program. I have a set of Chinese radios, which actually isn't that bad because, you know, they at least, in this particular model, they separate out programming and operating mode. So in other words, you don't program in operating mode, you don't operate in programming mode. Hold down a key and it goes into programming mode, which is easier because now you don't have things that do double and triple duty. But for most other radios, just get the USB connector cable and just use your laptop or desktop computer.
Yes, the programming cable, so, you know, KTRCL has the software, and he'll probably, he's hopefully coming over today and get that all figured out for me.
As I said, it may not program every feature, but try Chirp, which is, you know, is open source for pretty much any platform, Linux, Windows, whatever. That'll program, it may recognize that thing. It may not program every single feature, as would the software that's specific to that radio. But that's what I would do first, and if Chirp doesn't program it, or doesn't program every single thing, you know, that's when you get out the Kenwood or ICOM or whatever other software, you know, proprietary software for that radio.
Yes, they had specific software that the radio came with, because in the owner's manual, it said nothing about programming it by the computer.
There is a programming cable. Is that what you said? If there's a programming cable, there's a way.
Programming cable, which means there is a way, but the owner's manual didn't tell me how to use the programming cable.
What? That's one suggestion. Chirp, like a bird, C-H-I-R-P. It programs, it's probably up to about 100 different radios, including most of the Chinese variants, you know, plus others, Kenwood, ICOM, a bunch of others, mostly handhelds, probably a couple of mobile radios, too. That's where I would go first. But, you know, if you want to wait for the other software, you know, you could do that, too. I tend to be impatient when it comes to a lot of these things. You know, it's, and impatience and engineering don't usually go together. But my approach is usually, what gets things to working the quickest?
I'm going to try, so, you know, I've probably used Chirp and see if we can get it programmed and hopefully working well, because I, you know, like the way the radio looks and operates so far. I just need to get it working properly.
Teach West. What kind of radio y'all were talking about? But yeah, I was using Chirp on a UH2857D, and it uses the cloning mode of the radio to transfer back and forth. So that works really good. Over.
Sometimes it actually uses some sort of interactive mode where there's some commands you can send to the radio to
programming individual frequencies, your radios, if that's what that works with. I would say it's probably currently about 100 radios.
My radio is one of the 100.
Got a nasty-ass problem, potentially, because, yeah, a lot of those imported radios are not nice to try to program from the front panel. I mean, you could do it. I could do it even with this one, this Kenwood mobile radio, but, you know, it's not something you, I guess it's a question of what you're used to. You know, most ham radios, you can always use the front panel. Commercial radios, a lot of times, you can't. That's where you need the software.
You can program it from the front panel. It just doesn't seem like it's too easy.
I'm saying, you always can. You know, the question is, do you want to? But, you know, anything made for the ham market, generally, and as I said, the exception being the commercial market, commercial UHF or VHF radio, no, not so much. Having the program software is obligatory, because, you know, you don't want some person in the field basically messing with radio.
That probably is true.
I have a few of those. I have one that I don't have much use for around here because there's not that much going on 70 centimeters. But I got this Midland, you know, it's a UHF, you know, general purpose commercial mobile. And I will say one thing about those radios is they're built like a tank. They tend to be very rugged, very reliable.
You know, because I guess if they're being commercially used in, like, the work field, yeah, they probably would need to be, you know, reliable and be meant to be dropped. But, yeah, I'm not sure if, I don't think my radio is, like, a commercial. I'm not sure.
I think you're actually Part 90 certified. Most of them are now. So, you know, in theory, they'll go up on any radio service within that range. Because I would usually, just for the heck of it, I would program in, like, MERS or FRS or whatever other frequencies, whatever other radio services I could think of, just to have them in there.
My radio is a Chinese radio, you know. It's not really necessarily a known name brand, and, yeah, so, I don't know, I might be able to program some weird things in there.
So it's useful to have, you know, just things like MERS or FRS or GMRS. Well, GMRS may be licensed. Sometimes just for general purposes where you have, you know, two or three radios that you need for an outing or something, and you're not necessarily, the other people aren't in your group aren't necessarily ham operators, so you need unlicensed frequencies you can throw in there.
These Chinese radios can do unlicensed frequencies?
Yeah. You can, you know, if they're Part 90 accepted, they could do that legally. See, I used to buy these radios years ago when they were first being imported, and they weren't legal to use anywhere except in the amateur radio band because they weren't type accepted, they weren't certified, or whatever they are, but, you know, I think they are now.
FCC certified this radio piece. It, like, says, I think, FCC on the back.
Probably it, then. But, so they're, you know, they're general purpose, generally useful for, you know, pretty much any conventional analog radio system, you know, not just the amateur bands.
Means, you know, like companies like that have like a big facility would want to use them on non-amateur bands.
That's probably what they were designed for. And you know, I could go to Motorola and get the same radios for, $500 a piece.
or I could spend $50 to $100 and go to you know, some company whose name I can't even really pronounce.
Was about $50. You know, it's not necessarily an expensive radio, so it was soft like Amazon.
If you're interested, there's you might be. I don't know if you're going to save any money really going directly to the distributor, but 409shop.com. That's a distributor for most of the Chinese brands there in. They're in Hong Kong, so they're like the direct distributor for a lot of these unknown Chinese brands. I don't know if you save much money buying from them, because you've still got, you know, by the time you got shipping fees and maybe import fees, you end up about the same.
Well, it would be cheap because, you know, I got mine, I believe, free shipping, and it's just like $50 in total.
But, yeah, 409shop.com. They're physically located, I think, somewhere in Hong Kong. And they would have all these radios that they sell all over the world, probably even for frequency bands you can't really even use in the U.S., but, you know, whatever it is, we've got a radio for it. Tiny, tiny, but non-zero possibility they'll get snagged at customs, but it's not likely they will. I've ordered directly from them a couple of times, and 2 weeks later, you get this nice package with a bunch of Chinese postage stamps on it.
Was your, like, owner's manual all in Chinese?
Might as well be. It's either in Chinese or it's machine-translated Chinese. Chinese is one of those languages that don't translate that easily automatically. So it reads like, turning power on radio to on position, switch with red button. You know, it sounds like, I guess, phonetically correct or grammatically correct, but really strange English.
Yeah, I could see how that could happen. So what is the shop, 109 shop or what?
Remember the 409 formula for that cleaning product? 409shop.com. The name comes from, I think, some frequency band in use overseas. There's a 409 megahertz, like, citizens band. But, yeah, that's the direct... They're the direct distributor for a lot of those models.
I tried to... you know, check them out here and see what they got.
The prices might have even included shipping. You know, shipping, again, might take time. It's not going to be 1 or 2 day Amazon shipping. It might take the better part of 2 weeks. It's extraordinarily unlikely, but, you know, your customs doesn't usually bother with them. So you'll in a couple of weeks you'll get this brown paper package with a bunch of Chinese postage stamps on it. You know, just don't expect it overnight.
You could see that piece is being shipped all the way from China, and it looks like they have a good bit of radios that are, you know, seem like more. I saw like ICOM on here, so I guess, and a bow thing, so I guess it's a bit of Chinese radios out there.
They're like, I have a couple of, it's like maybe the second tier level of lousy Chinese radios. Look for a brand called Puxing or Poop. I don't know. I can't pronounce it phonetically. Puxing is the brand name. They're like the slightly better Chinese radio. That's the one I was telling you about where they're easier to program because we actually have a programming mode. I've got a couple of those things. I had 2 VHF and 2 UHF ones.
You know, maybe try to check those out if I can't get my other handheld programmed.
Programmed? It's just a question of, yeah, you know, and they'll, and, but, you know, they sell worldwide, so they probably even have radios that are not really applicable. Like in Europe, there's a 4-meter band, which I don't believe you have around here because it's, in the U.S., I think it's in the middle of some disused TV channels. But there's a European 4-meter band if you needed a radio for that. You know, although make sure you've got the correct, I guess also if they ship to the U.S., they also include the correct correct power adapter and correct, you know, voltage and that sort of thing.
If they do, so, yeah, I tried, you know, checking them out just a little bit, and it looks like they got a good bit of selections.
Hey, you know, you never know. I had some very, very old Chinese radios that came with a Chinese or European charger, so you got to throw a voltage converter in there somewhere, from 200, 220 down to 110 or whatever it is in the United States or China. So, and the funny part about that is I had some for U.S. 110 volt current and Chinese 220 volt current, and guess what? They had exactly the same type of mains plug on the other end. So, but yeah, that they, you know, they're better about that now. And also, as I said, at that time they weren't type certified or FCC approved. So if you got them for anything other than the amateur radio band, it was, you know, technically not legal.
Like, you know, yeah, so I think they're now FCC approved.
So, I think it falls under Part 90 or Part 95 of the FCC regulations. I don't have the FCC rulebook with me. That's probably a question on the extra exam or something. Under what rule would apply for, you know, oh gee, now I gotta know the whole rulebook. Part 90 approval is what I think it needs.
Yeah, my radios that I have are Chinese, so, you know, I only have one American-made radio.
All the handhelds I have are the Chinese imports. I don't know that I would trust them entirely for mobile radios. You know, this is a Kenwood. I've got another ICOM. I got an ICOM 2-meter rig somewhere. I've got another Kenwood 2-meter rig sitting on my desk. For mobile radios, I think I'd rather have someone I've actually heard of.
I have, you know, the American-made HF, and I'm using a Chinese 2-meter radio, but it seems to be known as a fairly known name brand. I don't know if you've heard of the Anytone, but, you know, that's what I'm working off of.
Give Anytone. Probably the Anytone. What was the other one that was popular? Baofeng is one of them. They're kind of all in the same category. It wouldn't surprise me if it's all the same manufacturer, or it's, you know, it's like one factory that produces radios on a dozen different names. Heck, for all I know, they make Kenwood and Motorola and ICOM radios as well on a different assembly line.
So, yeah, my Anytone seems to do fairly well. You know, the only thing that sometimes happens is a PTT switch gets stuck down sometimes. All I have to do is bump it and it comes unstuck, and that's the only thing that I really have a complaint about, and that's not even, other than that, it works perfectly.
I haven't used any of the portables recently. I should play with them some more. I, you know, plug them into a... I've got the little SMA to whatever it is, PL239 connector adapter, plug them into an actual antenna, which is what I used to do. a lot of times when I didn't have a mobile radio. The little pigtail with the SMA connector to, what is it, PL239 connector, so you can plug it into an actual antenna.
A few mag mount antennas that will plug into the handheld and, you know, that I can put on the car, but it doesn't seem to work too well.
I don't know, the cheap car radio antenna, it shouldn't matter though. I mean, an antenna is an antenna. And a 2 meter antenna is basically a quarter wave width. I mean, you know, what is there to it generally? I don't know that one brand is that much better than the other.
Probably when I did it, my antenna is only about 6 inches on the car, and, you know, it's only running off of 5 watts, and, you know, I just couldn't hit the repeater too well on the road.
5 watts, I can get to this repeater with the correct antenna. I can't do this with this radio. This has 25 watts and 65 watts. If I had the other one, the ICOM radio, or maybe the other Kenwood radio, that had a 5 or 10 watt position, I would demonstrate that right now. 5 or 10 watts will definitely get you in.
Get into the repeater while driving, it's just, my signal wasn't that good, and I can hit the repeater from my house on 5 watts perfectly fine.
I've tried this with a handheld radio with a proper antenna.
An antenna on the roof of the car, and then the handheld connected to that antenna, and I couldn't hit the repeater too well, but just inside the house with the handheld's normal antenna, it works fine.
That's a little strange, but all right. Yeah, it's there's a lot of variations. Actually, the best sort of antenna probably to build, you've probably already built. Get like half-inch copper tubing and some elbows and other little pieces, and build a J pole for 2 meters.
Well, I built the J pole. But I have a homemade J-pole that somebody else built that I'm working off of.
I have one that I built, which looks like it was soldered by Guido the Alcoholic Plumber. And I have another one that KI4DOS built, which is actually a pretty good one. And he designed it so that the sections come apart. When you put the sections together, there's elastic bands that hold them together, and you can just, you know, pull the sections apart and put it in a briefcase or something.
It would be handy if you are, you know, wanted to take a hike or somewhere off top of a mountain, take your antenna. Yeah, that would be really handy to do, because, yeah, well... That is pretty neat that he designed it to be able to come apart.
Because he just put it together without soldering the sections on the long side. There's three sections on the long side of the antenna. You just basically put the fittings together without soldering them. And what he did is he put internally elastic. So when you put the sections together, the elastic bands hold it together. It's some sort of like, almost like bungee cord material. So then you just, you know, pull the sections apart and it folded up. It was a nice antenna. I got it off of KI4MLN, who unfortunately became Silent Key within the past couple of weeks.
Probably never made a contact with him myself.
Who did?
Well, that's sad. He's not able to be on the air anymore.
Really speaking, no. If you hear KI4MLN on the air, make a log entry. Because that would be a neat trick. Yeah, no, he had health problems for quite a long time. I mean, since I've known him. which is really only a couple of years.
He had, like, heart and lung problems. I myself must have taken him to the hospital on 3 or 4 occasions. You know, so I guess the machinery eventually quit.